This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Join us on Now We Consume. Take in the knowledge. Take in the laughs. Indulge in the topics with us. The Now We Consume podcast will take you through the parts of your day you normally dread. Why suffer through the existential crisis of life alone when you can do it with us? And now, we consume.
This is not meant to be a conspiracy episode or podcast, but we may cover some topics that dance that line like a toddler dances on their mother's last nerve. This podcast is rated I, for immature audiences only.
Welcome to Now We Consume, the podcast where your weird is our normal, and our weird gives you private sessions with a therapist and new medications. I am your host, Gibbs.
Those anything like the private sessions with your uncle?
No. Those don't give you medications. Those give you STDs and trauma. And usually you learn a new swear word or something like that or something funny.
But the only word I learned was no.
Anyways, I am your host, Gibbs, and along with me is my co-host, Pip.
Yeah, and this week we got it right. He is Gibbs and I am Pip.
I know. Thank God. It was scary being you for 30 seconds.
Right?
I know, just...
Talk about that trauma.
I can't, that's the problem. There are no therapists licensed in that around here. But anyways, so today we want to take it a little bit of a different direction with the podcast. And since it's becoming very clear, there's a lot of like smaller topics that might not necessarily warrant an entire episode. So what we're going to do is do a bit of a variety episode here, where we each picked a couple of topics that were tickling our tism, and that way we can discuss that and have a little bit of fun and have a few jokes along the way.
Twas the tism, my lord.
Show us the tism. I think that's relatively evident in the show. I'm just
not literally hard to find. Every other thing we do is basically just watch as I do a tism.
Pretty much. Yeah, but hey, you know, gotta have some fun, right? Gotta enjoy life. But anyway, so I think the first topic here that we wanted to discuss, which I know was definitely something that you have been vigorously discussing.
Drones!
Yes.
Yes. But before we get into the topic, I want to go ahead and let everyone know the four main topics we're going to discuss.
Oh,
Just as a little... Spoiler, huh? Yes, I want to spoil this just a tiny bit. I normally don't do spoilers. What's
you
like that?
To tease them. You just want to tease them. Just a little tease.
I do want to tickle the...
Just a little tease, you know?
Just tickle the tip a little bit. We're going to talk about drones. We're going to talk about some advancements in robots tonight. The new AI-powered video agents and services like VO3 and some of the ultra-realistic deepfake videos that have come out of it. And then we're going to dance the little divider line and get a little political. The Trump and Elon breakup. The bromance has ended. We're going to discuss a few things about that. However, before we get into that, there are a couple of honorable mentions that we wanted to get into. We are recording this show on June the 8th. As of today, Los Angeles is more or less, well, Southern Los Angeles, I believe, is still more or less on fire. Riots and looting and other shenaniganry are in process thanks to folks of questionable legal status engaging in, shall we say, physical altercations with federal agents. I don't think that's going to turn out well, no matter how you shake a stick at it. The National Guard has been deployed, so grab the popcorn and pull up a chair. This is going to play out the way it's going to play out. The second honorable mention we had was the discovery of Chinese agroterrorism this week. I did not have that one on my bingo card. How about you, Gibbs?
No, I'll be honest. That was probably on row 37-E somewhere in there on my list, because like, there's no way.
Subsection 24? Yeah.
Yeah, about, give or take.
But as you had mentioned before we went live, a hidden underground lab, where was it?
It was in California.
In California, so, of all places.
Mind you, all this has just come out in the last few hours, on the 8th. So it's possibly by the time this airs tomorrow and it comes out between Monday and Tuesday, typically that's when the stories are picked back up. There could be a lot more information, but as far as we know today, last week there was at time of recording, we know that there was basically Chinese, CCP sympathizers that were arrested. There was a guy that worked,
University of Michigan.
Thank you. I was trying to remember the university. Basically they were going to try to release, and they had in their possession, I don't know if they said exactly what type of,
they did name the fungus.
It was a virus.
It was a fungus. Okay, thank you. And if released, it could have devastated the food supply.
That's what it was.
I think it was 40 to 60% of our national crop could have been potentially affected. There is a gas that's put off by the decomp of the crops that is hazardous to humans. So that's something that when we did our The End of the World as We Know It episode, that was not even on our radar. That's how low of a possibility and checkbox that is on the list. Like, we cover some pretty out there shit.
Oh yeah, but not only that, but something like that is very mutual assured destruction type of thing, because that would inevitably get to everywhere in the world. That's not something that would just stay in the US.
Oh yeah,
because think about it, by the time it's detected, it would have already been transported across the world. We provide a lot of the world's grain, people don't realize, and we grow a shit ton of stuff. So that the fact that there was even a question of that getting out there, that's insane. And mind you, what's crazy to think about is how much stuff has been out there now. Like put aside COVID and everything else that happened with that. How many different strains of different viruses and different things or different ailments?
Right.
Where this has happened before or something else has been influenced or affected. That's kind of crazy. It boggles my mind that they could have created that without the US government even having an inkling of knowing. But apparently they somehow did.
It's a good thing that they got caught, because if that did get out, we would be in such a bad shape. And honestly, that coming out and coming to light just reemphasizes the whole, you need to have food stores on hand, at least a month worth, probably more, but you got to take care of you and yours.
Definitely reference our prepping episode on that, because we're both pretty into that stuff and self-sufficiency, self-reliance. It's becoming a necessity nowadays, but that was insane. As well as the other information is that linked to that, there apparently is an underground lab that's run by the CCP and or sponsored by the CCP, China, that's in California, that's loosely linked to some of the universities there. So we're still waiting more information, but it seems like every time we turn around, the CCP are linked to something. The Chinese government is linked to something that has to do with our medical infrastructure, and it's terrifying. Yeah, should be zero involvement. The fact that there's even 0.1% is ridiculous, let alone anything. So, yeah.
The one thing, and I'll try to keep this brief, but the last thing I want to talk on this point was, this was a fungus that was going to affect crops. How much farmland does China own that is also next to a lot of our military bases? Just those two facts together kind of emphasize that there is way too much foreign involvement in our country in key areas that needs to stop. Yep. Like, I'm okay with foreign investment to a point, but there are some industries that need to be off limits.
The majority of countries in the world do not allow foreigners to own land. You can own like a condo or like part of a building, but they don't allow people to own land, which is interesting. No.
And I think we should be on that bandwagon.
We're quickly coming to that point to where that's going to be necessary. So, I don't know. So. It's crazy. But we just wanted to touch on that before we got rolling with the podcast. Last thing
quickly, and this wasn't in the notes. The new strain of COVID is out. Yay.
AKA new strain of the flu, part two, electric boogaloo. I don't know. It's just going to be another cold.
2 weeks to flatten the curve, right?
Yeah, that worked out well. You know what, though? I will say, I think those 2 weeks were probably the two most peaceful weeks of my entire life, because we all got on, hung out, played video games, watched movies, hung out with each other.
Then
after those 2 weeks, it was like, oh, wait, this is
life this is, again.
Oh, no. It's almost.
I remember when our buddy sent pictures of California and you could see like over the cities in California.
I know, it's incredible.
So that was kind of cool. Like letting nature heal itself smog. A little. Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice that they weren't breathing pure smog. It's crazy. All those emissions laws in California, and it somehow still doesn't matter.
Right? Yeah.
It's almost like that's not causing the most of the pollution.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Anyways.
But to get into the meat and taters for tonight, we will dive into the drones. And one of the things I wanted to talk about first was the drone revolution. From warfare to your wallet. Drone technology is advancing at quite an exponential rate. We're seeing significant improvements in flight time and range, thanks to new battery technology. More efficient design, material science is advanced, so drones can fly for longer distances. You can get more bang for your buck out of drones these days. I thought you were going to ask a question. I'm sorry.
Well, what I was going to say, some one of the things I was reading, so I was watching a couple of videos or reading a couple articles, a lot of it has to do with the efficiency of the engines as well as the propeller designs. Mm-hmm. And really, it's a thrust to weight ratio, where they're able to make these drones so light now, and the engine's so powerful, and all of it's so cheap.
Yes.
That you're talking for a few hundred, even a few thousand dollars, you got drones that can carry enough.
Not even that, because we can 3D print a lot of these drones too.
Yeah.
So there's that.
The
autonomy and AI, thanks to our wonderful AI overlords, drones are getting smarter and they're being enabled to navigate complex environments. They can identify objects and even make decisions without direct human control. There was a TV show or a movie, I think it was called Killbots. And I think most people have seen the little reel where the guy's on stage and he holds up the little microbot. And it's got facial recognition technology and a little micro charge, shape charge. Mm-hmm. And he wings it out into the crowd and it buzzes around and then it finds the mannequin and it smacks the mannequin on the head and detonates the shape charge. That was like a 5 or 8 year old video. We now have that technology.
Good God, no.
Collectively, it may not be in a single unit today. Collectively speaking, we now have all of that technology at hand.
What scares me more is less that the U.S. government or that any one government has it, but the fact that when terrorists get their hands on that kind of stuff, that's going to fucking suck.
Yeah.
Like we are opening that Pandora's box that unfortunately can never be closed. And it's going to get really messy.
Yeah.
So, man.
this is getting good. Swarming technology. China has been nice at showing this one off. The ability of multiple drones to operate in a coordinated swarm has proven to be an absolute game changer for both military and commercial applications. Ukraine, what was it, last week, proved the effectiveness of drones in a swarm in combat situations, taking out, I believe it's been confirmed now, a third of Russia's strategic air power.
Yep.
So they did that with drones in trucks, 18 wheelers. They stuck them into the country. And that brings up, I'm going to talk about that in more detail, but that brings up a point that a lot of war planners are literally just being kept awake at night, because that can literally happen anywhere. any country that's got loose borders, immigration that's kind of got issue. Oh, God, that sounds familiar.
Not only that, but especially if you got countries like even outside of America that do not have sophisticated radar systems or surveillance systems. Well, if you have,
you cannot stop drone swarms like that.
I mean, I'm sure
you cannot deploy.
Well,
only if you have to have heads up and you have to have the systems in place. But we don't have phalanx systems on every corner in America. We don't have anti-drone technology on every building in America. That's literally the only way you can stop those things. And we just do not have the infrastructure to stop a drone swarm attack like that.
No.
It's not feasible. It's not economically viable. We have the capabilities. We can stop them if they're in the area that the anti-drone technology is in.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This makes me really question, do you remember, and I know this seems like a forever ago in news time, do you remember those big drones that were flying over the East Coast like 4 months ago, 5 months ago?
Yeah.
I'm starting to really wonder how interconnected all this is with the drone technology, how that happened and we were starting to mess with drones and now just it seems to escalate. It's almost going an exponential path. Now that we have access to AI that can run localized, that now that we've had GPUs that have these dedicated AI processing cores and now the military is using them, it almost seems to me that this, even the rudimentary AI that can run on a single or a couple of GPUs are going to be powerful enough to where these drones, they're going to be the new sleeper cells at this point, to where they're going to be able to set up these drones and activate them remotely and already have pre-designed targets, you know, pre-designated destinations, and they will be able to actively avoid and evade is going to be the next step. And that's going to be the huge problem, especially if all it takes is one bioweapon. If all it takes...
Drone payloads, they can be equipped with more than just cameras now. They can be equipped with firearms. They can be equipped with rocket launchers. They can be equipped with gas dispensers. They can be equipped with all kinds of stuff.
There were some drones I was watching in Ukraine. They can hold up to anywhere between 25 to 50 pounds, depending on how big the drone is. And I mean, that's...
In that's military not a small terms, amount of explosives if they wanted to go that route.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is like, in military terms, typically we usually see, you know, if you're using from a bomber or some sort of fighter, I mean, typically 250 pounds is like the smaller scale. But that's usually take out like an entire building. Whereas like if you're talking 25 to 50 pounds, that's something to where if you're trying to take out specific targets or in large swarms, take out whole areas. If you're just trying to carpet bomb, that's incredibly effective.
Yeah. And so, and those the swarms that have been on display from China.
Thousands.
They're used for air display shows.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if every one of those was carrying a 5 kilogram 12 pound charge.
Mm-hmm. Because one of those will destroy your car, basically. Effectively, if you're in your car and that drops on it, you're done.
Yeah, you could effectively level the working potential of a major city.
Well, not only that, but considering too, if you fly over things like
airfields,
any sort of intelligence centers, the U.S. Capitol, anywhere power else
plants.
Like that. Power plants. Yeah, infrastructure. I mean, Jesus.
Data centers.
Yeah. You could cripple entire areas of a country in the matter of hours by having several different swarms all
refineries.
Equipped to launch. Yeah. And mind you, there's a lot of stuff in America. The issue we have is a lot of the components for these things are not made here. A lot of those components are made in other countries. So the issue might be, hey, we can get some things working, but a lot of stuff, particularly electrical, we don't have here. So yeah. It would be, hey, this power plant's now down for 6 months to a year, or sometimes even more.
Yeah. Or if it is made here, it takes so long. Like for power plants, some of the main big components are made here, but they're, you know, 4, 6, 8 months lead time.
Well, yeah.
So that's always been one of the talking points for if there's massive grid failures, we can get the grid back up eventually. It's going to take a long time to manufacture the parts that get blown out. So,
I mean, look what's happening after North Carolina, even after that hurricane that came through there.
Oh, yeah. How long has that been now?
4 months, 6 months, something like that. I don't know. When did it happen?
Oh, God. What was the name of that hurricane? Helene?
Oh, boy. We're both screwing the pooch on this one in the middle of the. Oh, geez. That was a lot.
Hurricane Helene, September 24th of 24.
Yeah, right, buddy. So maybe 8 months ago.
Yeah.
God. Damn.
If it was Hurricane Helene, I think it was.
It is, yeah. That was a while
September
ago.
24th of 2024. Mm. And they're still not recovered.
No.
So, yeah. But, so in continuing the pace on the drones, the war in Ukraine has shown what the future of conflict is going to look like. We may not be fighting wars with boots on the ground. It's going to be a drone conflict, potentially. So whoever has the best drones, the most capable drones, the most maneuverable drones, looks like that's probably going to be who wins the war.
It's also going to be a war of intelligence as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's going to be data collection, intelligence, and then drones, pretty much. I was listening to... he was on the Unsubscribe podcast with Brandon Herrera and the rest of them, and he was talking about how the military is trying to shift to a less of an idea of boots on the ground and more about using drones and machinery and things like that to instead of putting lives at risk, which is very interesting because they're just now in the last couple of years trying to make that big switch.
Well, that's because the technology is finally there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've been lagging behind a lot in the drone technology. So the strike against Russia kind of shows how effective cheap drones can be. I don't have the numbers, and I wish I could find a better thing, but the cost of the drones that they used to take out Russia's strategic fleet, I want to say they probably used around $100,000 worth of drones, and they removed $6 billion worth of Russia's strategic assets.
Now, I do want to interject a little bit because I did see that the drone, I don't know which ones Ukraine's using, but I know the ones that we're using that can run somewhat autonomously are roughly $50,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be, you know, even $1 million worth of drones, depending if they're the nice ones. I don't know which ones they use, if they're the cheap ones. But that being said, that ratio is still insane.
Yeah.
Like that is incredible.
Also, the planes they took out aren't exactly being made anymore either.
Well, Russia has massive manufacturing issues, so and they've barely been able to afford their own military for over a decade.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, they have a lot, but a lot of it was built 10, 20 years ago or designed 10, 20 years ago.
Exactly. So yeah, the losses that Russia incurred are going to be felt for quite a while. And then they did just retaliate too. They launched some retaliatory attacks on population centers in Kiev. Yeah. So there were some strikes there. It wasn't as bad as it could have been. They were able to shoot down some of the munitions, but yeah. The new FPV drones, first-person view drones, those are the ones that are the super agile ones that they use in like races and such, the VR-enabled headsets. They're extremely agile and very inexpensive. They can be used as weapons and also intelligence gathering. So you can use them to target, you can use them to laze, for other munitions. And again, they're very inexpensive. You can build those things for 50, 60 bucks.
And the nice thing about those ones too is because they're much smaller, they're also much quieter.
Yes.
So you can get them up to a few hundred feet. You really can't hear them.
No one can hear
them. That was always the problem with previous generations of drones. Where
they were loud.
Yeah, they were fucking loud as shit. And they had no stealth capability. Whereas now, you know, you're seeing some drones. So I was watching some videos from the front lines to where Ukrainians are able to get the drones within like 50 to 100 feet.
Oh, yeah.
Of the soldiers. And there's nothing they can do because by the time they turn around to see them, they get smacked in the face with 5 pounds of fuck you. Like it's. Yep.
Yeah. So both Russia and Ukraine, as well as many other countries, China, the U.S., Poland, Germany, France, England, all are heavily investing in drone technology, leading to a new rapid cycle of innovation and countermeasures. So we're going to find out real quick what gets deployed to the battlefield and what this next phase of warfare is going to look like with drones. Outside the battlefield, though, the commercial boom for drones, a lot of companies are trying to use them for last mile of delivery and even whole mile delivery, if that's the correct phrase. Amazon, pizza places are trying to do drones from distribution to customer pickup, taking the humans right out of the equation. So there go more jobs. Yay.
Well, hey, now is the time. If you want to get into drone maintenance or drone technicians or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Literally get into it now. Learn how to work on all of them. Find the ones they're going to get the contracts to and see if you can get a service contract. You're going to make so much money.
Yep. I would like to take a moment and just reemphasize that learning to use and work with your hands, these little fleshy bags of fun, definitely going to be a way to secure your future in the coming years. AI will definitely take jobs. We'll talk about that.
Oh yeah, we're getting there.
Drones are also being used to inspect bridges, power lines, and other critical infrastructure. Other jobs that have been done by humans.
They were.
Agriculture. Farmers are using drones to monitor crops, apply pesticides, and optimize irrigation. More jobs that used to be done by humans.
The problem is farmers can't afford to have humans do that nowadays.
No, they can't, because they can buy one drone or pay a bunch of people that may not show up every year.
Exactly.
So, emergency services, this one I do like. Drones are proving to be invaluable tools for search and rescue operations, providing an aerial perspective in disaster zones. Being able to see where you cannot see in a rescue situation is absolutely vital. Mountain rescuers have been using drones for the last few years for like avalanche recovery, mountain search and rescue. Police have been using drones for finding people that are evading them, so using like FLIR technology. Absolutely indispensable for those kind of applications. And I do support that kind of use. Those are the kinds of situations you need that eye in the sky to find the person as quickly as possible.
I just worry the government's going to take it too far. You know, there's going to come a day with another lockdown.
No. The government would never take it too far.
No,
they would silly never talk. Do that.
I know, I'm a silly goose. I have to tell you. I guess that's my thing is I love the availability.
Yes.
Of having these drones here.
One thing I like about the availability is it's not just them that can have them.
Yes, for now.
We as the general public have access to building materials, 3D printers, GitHub is a thing.
Yes.
We have access to the resources and can make these things ourselves for now.
Yes. I know there are people already talking about limiting the size and or weight of what civilians can have.
Yeah, but if shit breaks down, it's not going to matter.
But what I'm getting at is in the first moments of if there's something that happens, we will be at a distinct disadvantage as civilians if those restrictions go through.
Yes.
Now, what we are quickly entering the world of 1984 with this because inversely, you will really have no privacy going forward. Give it a few years to where once the police departments start cutting, you know, officers, but getting more drones on board, start using more surveillance. It's going to be the case of they're going to have drones just patrolling neighborhoods and videoing, you know, every time you're outside your house.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I don't know. I get it in some ways.
That's the thing that people need to realize. Officers have to be paid a salary. Drones have to be purchased once.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be switching to a police system at some point where that there will not be police officers patrolling. Your skies will be filled with small drones that will be too small for you to hear. You might barely be able to see them, but they will be going through a monitoring and listening. To give
the
you guys
drones will be there to monitor. The police officers will be there to respond.
Exactly what I'm getting at. To give you guys an idea, our technology is already at this point because in my city where I live in, they had a program 10 years ago to where they installed these very high fidelity microphones all around the city to where if a gunshot went off, they could triangulate it and get to the position. What's insane is they only put a few $100,000 into that program, and that was over 10 years ago. And it was accurate up to about 6 to 10 feet of where they located it. How do I know this? Because my neighbor, they had a deer that got hit. And he likes to skin the deers and stuff like that and take the deer meat and whatever. And he called up the police and said, hey, this deer just got hit. I'm a hunter. I want the meat. Can I kill it and put it out of its misery and take the meat? Because if you guys take too long to get here, it's going to spoil and then you have to dispose of it. And they said, well, I guess, hold on. And he waited a little bit, waited about 5 minutes. They called back and said, sure. Well, the automated system detected the gunshot. And so they sent other officers over to investigate. And so you have some officers there be like, oh, thanks, man, for handling. The other ones are like,
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
We were just told you fired, there's a firearm fired right here. Get down, you're being arrested. It was a whole big kerfuffle. He ended up being fine. But what was insane was they recorded it. It was within like 6 to 10 feet is what the officers were telling me. And this is technology from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
10. And I don't live in a big city.
Yeah.
So imagine what's going to happen with all these drones and having layers and layers of surveillance and layers of all this on top of each other. You won't be able to fart outside your house before you get a fucking fine. Are you kidding me like that? That's going to be insane.
That's CO2 emissions. That's methane emissions.
Yes, exactly. unlicensed release of methane, $5 fine. You know, it's.
Oh, did you ever watch Demolition Man?
Are you talking about the swearing scene?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
You have been fined 1 credit for violation of the methane parameters.
That's what's going to happen. Or like what's going to get weird is stuff like, imagine for somebody that has a pool and you want to go skinny dipping. They'd be like, you know, you're fined $5 for public indecency. It's like, motherfucker, I'm into my yard. But they'd be like, no, they can see you. They're watching. They're watching, Dave. I can see you.
Yeah, I'll encourage them to watch. I'll just shove my ass up to the sky and be like, watch here.
Free chocolate starfish for all who attend.
Oh, God, people go broke if public nudity and swearing is something they can get fined for.
I know. Ripped all
the
OnlyFans.
Imagine the people with road rage.
Jesus. Imagine you just did like, fuck this dude. And a drone just comes down next to you and it'll be like, I'm sorry, you've now been fined. God damn it. You've been fined again. Fuck you. I'm fined again. And dude, that would just end, that would endlessly escalate.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to live in a wild world where when you can't be nude on your own property, but people, endless amount of people do it on OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're getting paid for it, so.
I just don't like this.
Yep.
But, yeah, drones are going to become a thing. And sure, we might be a little bit hyperbolic now, but I feel like 5 or 10 years from now, we're going to be 100% vindicated.
Probably.
You know, this show eventually they'll be calling us prophets. The prophets of doom. You know.
Oh, we should make some videos about that. Having us like on stage and people just bowing down to us. We could do that with that new VO3 engine that you want to talk about.
Oh, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah, because I've hit all the drone points. We can go into the VO3 stuff.
Okay. So the big thing that's the other huge news of the internet is Google released basically an AI video generated tool called VEO3. Now there was VEO2, which
was pretty good.
That was what was used with the original. So VEO1 was the original Will Smith AI thing. Then VEO2 is what they've been using recently. Well, VEO3 came out. And VEO3 is terrifying if you work in Hollywood.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I have to be honest with you, it will generate both the audio and the video of the prompts that you give it, and it can generate things like its own jokes, its own context. It'll do entire episodes. They're even working on one to where eventually you'll be doing entire movies. But what's crazy is you can sometimes tell, most of the time you can tell it's AI, but we're in that uncanny valley area to where sometimes you can't even tell that it's AI.
Yeah, I sent him a video before we went live tonight, and I said, hey, you have to see this. It's hilarious. It's disturbingly gross, but it's made with the new VO3 engine. He thought the first half of it was real.
And normally, I'm pretty good at spotting this stuff because I know what to look for. It even fooled me. And what scares me is how many people over the age of 55 or 60 that are on Facebook that are going to start believing every fucking video that they see. It's going to be pure pandemonium. The issue we see also, I have two concerns that I've been thinking of. One, if this is just now becoming commercially available to people, what has the government had access to for the last 10 or 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
How many things have we thought that we've seen or that we've been showed that maybe it wasn't the whole truth and maybe it was edited? Number two, the more concerning thing, you have shows like Saturday Night Live or even all the Marvel movies and TV shows and everything else, all these huge productions with all these writers and directors and everything. And
the actors.
And the actor. What's scary is I have laughed more from these AI comedy clips than I have from any Marvel thing in the last 5 years. What terrifies me is these are funnier than SNL. And I'm keeping politics out of it. No bias, no nothing. It's genuinely funny because I think it doesn't have to take into account any sort of public backlash or any sort of, well, that's a loud bike, any sort of politics or anything. It's just doing what it's seeing other shows do that are successful. And what's crazy is
I will say, as far as SNL goes, the scenes where they've had Scarlett Johansson's husband and the other news anchor reading each other's unviewed jokes. Oh, God, those are hilarious.
That's one of the few good things on SNL right now.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's just been very, very crap, very politicized. But it's crazy that the AI can do a convincing TV show at a moment's notice. What's going to be insane is, mind you, we're just at the third iteration of this in the last couple of years. And
this engine was only released on May 20th.
Yeah.
That's all the longer this has been out. We've got 3 to 4 weeks of content that's already that good. Give this engine some time to mature. And holy shit.
There are already people working on taking like animated TV shows and making it into real life. I saw one guy was trying to use some of the prompts to redo some like the old Batman animated shows.
Ooh.
To make it into like real life. It's kind of crazy because they're just trying to use prompts and be able to have it regenerate the same characters over and over. It's going to be difficult.
I wonder, could you take a digital copy of a book and feed it into this engine and get some kind of like a play out?
That's the goal.
Oh, God, I have some books I want to see.
Well, here's what's going to be crazy. And I know we discussed this on a previous podcast, but this is a point I really want to reiterate with this. The way AI is going, we are eventually going to be the curators of all of our own content. There is going to become a point very soon to where humans will no longer have shared experiences when it comes to media. It used to be, we all meet up, we go to the movies, we get some snacks with each other, maybe we catch dinner before or after, but we all have that shared equal experience of watching and appreciating the same content. What's going to change in the next few years is they're going to say, hey, we know what movies you like. What if we made you your own movie? And we make it exactly the way you want. If you don't like something, you could ask the AI to change it. Every ending can be what you want. Every movie for you will be a happy ending.
Or you get yourself a Neuralink and you can edit it while it's playing.
Oh, that's even a whole other. That I don't like even more. But what's going to scare me is not the age brackets that you and I are in, because we're used to standardized movies. Here comes the question for the kids that are being born now, that are going to be brought up in the world of AI movies and content. Will they ever know anything other than watching what they want, how they want, exactly the way that they want it?
Right. I just had a very terrifying thought, Gibbs. Real 4D movies where with said Neuralink, you cannot just edit how the movie goes. You can actually feel what's going on viscerally.
I will tell you this right now.
Take on a whole new edge.
We will choose the Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
The way we are going, people are going to say, you know what? I will choose it. What was his name in the first Matrix movie that says, I know the stake isn't real?
Cypher. Still,
Cypher, thank you. I bet you 99% of people will choose to be Cypher.
Yep. I choose ignorance.
And you know what's scary? What I get it. I'm not going to do it, but I get it. Because, you know, those of us that have already been around, we get what reality is, but you're going to be talking about having a whole different idea of what a shared reality is when the AI is going to be where they live. Now, here comes in the more immediate term. How long will it be until Hollywood and the movie industry and the music industry starts fighting against this? Because why would you hire all these writers on SNL when an AI can literally be funnier like 80% of the time? Why wouldn't they just let AI write everything and then have the actual people review it and be like, that's funny. That's not, that is, that's not, edit this.
That's probably going to be the first step.
And I think you're going to start seeing that. You're going to see this weird problem where all the AI that they're using are going to start doing very similar things. If you thought stuff between Marvel and DC and everything was similar now, wait until they're using the same AI that does the same kind of jokes in the same kind of way, the same kind of camera movements and everything. It's going to get weird and it's going to get repetitive and scripted.
Oh, speaking of camera movements, I sent you a link to a thing. There's a new process coming out. It's going to be used a lot for sporting events. Mostly it's going to be focused on the after the broadcast is done, but people can interact with it and get camera angles from any point in 3D space. Eventually it's going to be done with AI agents, where it can be done in near real time.
So the whole idea is eventually, so I don't know if you know, this is actually a couple of restaurants that do something similar to where they have a giant screen that's literally like 40 feet.
Yes, by 60 I've seen feet. Those. I've seen those.
Okay. That's eventually going to come to your home through this idea to where you're going to pay for a digital seat and you're going to be able to move that around in 3D space or pay for a better upgrade or whatever. But you'll be able to sit there and watch the game from your VR headset or from your TV or whatever. And you have your digital seat.
Yeah, I'll take a... I don't do sports, but I wouldn't mind watching like an MMA fight or something, you know, go and watch, you know, a real boxing match where we get, you know, a 3D Tyson Cheeks, maybe.
I don't know. It's cool technologically, but boy, do I think a lot of people are going to start checking out of reality soon if this keeps going this way.
I mean, do people sleep in VR already?
What?
So, yeah. What is it? VR chat.
What do you mean they sleep in VR chat?
Yeah, people actually use VR chat with their headsets, and they sleep in VR.
Why?
Your they eyes have are dedicated closed. Rooms.
Well, your eyes
ambiance.
Are I'm getting old for this shit. This is... Goddamn. These young kids and these goddamn contraptions with these hardware... I don't know. I don't get it.
Right?
That's scary. I mean, like, I understand if you're in, like, a poor African country where, like, you don't want to look at the hut that you live in. I get that, too. I would be the same way. But, like, I know I just offended a lot of people, but I really don't care. But at the same point, like, if you're someone that's privileged in, like a first world country, like, what's so wrong about your life where you can't sleep in your bed? Like, I don't know. Like, you know what, though? I would understand if you're in, like, a dorm situation or maybe you have to, like, share a room with somebody. Like, that I would kind of understand, but...
Mm-hmm. I am 30 or 40 years old. I do not need this.
God damn. The world never ceases to amaze and confound and confuse me.
Right.
Good Lord. Sleeping in VR chat.
Yep.
What happens? Like what happens when someone comes in the room and just starts yelling at you?
You pull your headset off.
User has joined your server. Fuck you, you stupid bitch.
Well, no, they're passworded out, so it would have to be hacked. But I mean, like, I've been in those rooms just to see what they're like, and they're nice. They're serene. They're relaxing.
Call me the VR Kool-Aid man, because I'm going to haunt your fucking dreams.
Oh, yeah. Get real close to them, and then just start whispering the weird shit.
How do you like it moist? Jesus. Give me that clam chowder. Oh, some fresh oyster gravy. Oh.
Put that in someone's head while they're sleeping.
You know, the amount of confused nightmares you're going to cause. You know. Someone's going to be waking up and thinking, I don't even like seafood. Like, I don't get this. I don't understand. Oh my God. I just, no.
Or you could sit there and just talk to them and just tell them all the most fucked up jokes you know. It's like,
oh my God.
Have you ever gone down on a girl, tasted semen, and thought to yourself, maybe that's how she died?
I hate you. Oh my God. But yeah, so long story short, if you want to really
see, we got way off the rails.
I know, that's half the fun though. Look up VEO3. I think there's gonna be a lot of situations where it's gonna start taking over in a lot of video form content. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube already that's getting there. Same thing with TikTok. One of the things that is a problem with it. So there was already a law passed about AI deepfakes being used in explicit terms. What the fuck is that guy playing? Did you hear that loud-ass car that drove by?
Nope.
No. Okay, cool. At least that's working. Anyway, sorry. It was playing weird music, regardless. One of the concerns I want everyone to be aware of, I know we mentioned it in a previous podcast or two, double check any videos that people are reporting as news. Because this is getting to be so real that it's easy to see the misinformation, to see the deep fakes. It's very easy to not know what is real anymore with some of these. So just be aware. Be skeptical. Because I think a lot of videos are going to start being switched out for AI. The only plus side, though, is, I don't know about you guys, but I like watching documentaries to learn stuff as well. And I like to kind of, you know, watch stuff as I'm learning. What I think is going to be interesting is we can use AI to start using educationally and to kind of teach people some stuff. I think that's going to be kind of neat. There's certain ways we can use it, which would be great, but holy hell.
You can use AI to bring back educators that have passed.
You know what? My favorite, I was watching, what was it? Ben Franklin.
That'd be cool.
I was watching.
Carl Sagan would be nice.
Carl Sagan. I was watching Ben Franklin discuss how he discovered electricity. And then he went to grab some soup and said, this soup is absolutely bussin'. And I just with the modern language being thrown in with him talking about it, I just died. I think there's a lot of kids, though, I think in high school, because history is such a dry subject. I feel like a great use of AI could be for things like history and English or even math in some cases to make it more relatable and more human.
Yeah.
Because I watched entire like 5 minute thing of George Washington walking through like an old camp right after one of the battles. I forget which one. And just talking and like interviewing other soldiers. And I'm sitting there thinking this whole thing's fucking made up. But you know what? As someone that was a history teacher and like into that, like everything checks out. Like it's pretty accurate. Like sure, there's some things that are wrong, but they purposely throw in modern jargon and language just to make it funny and relatable. And I'm like, son of a bitch. You know, it's actually really good. It's kind of funny. So, I don't know. I feel like there's so much potential. It's awesome, but
it's also terrifying.
Get big advice here. I think from this podcast, we can both agree with: get a job where AI can't replace you, please.
Yes.
Offer some sort of service 100%. Or something. Because fucking Christ, I'm sorry if you're a script writer, if you work as like a camera guy or something like that. Womp womp. I don't have to tell you.
Right.
That's you got replaced.
Just wait till the porn bots come out.
I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of women are not going to be on OnlyFans anymore because they're going to be replaced with bots. I'm telling you right now.
One thing you got to kind of worry about. Can you really trust what you see on the internet anymore?
No.
Past a certain point, because we're not that far from that point, really.
That's why I really stress for people, if you want to keep up with the news, follow independent news journalists. I'm not saying there's any one that's the best. I really do like people like Tim Pool. I feel like he's a good gateway into a lot of independent people. Dave Rubin, there's a few other ones as well. But like seriously, if you follow just the mainstream, everybody is copying using AI and putting like CNN or Fox or MSNBC, ABC. It's going to get really messy real quick.
Yeah.
So follow independent journalists, please.
Yeah. One other thing is people that actually take real videos, the real true stuff, and try to say, oh, that's just AI. Don't worry. It's fake.
Yeah.
Because again, the fake stuff is so real and believable, you almost can't tell the difference.
There's going to be a big problem, I think, in the future, where when the elections come around a few years, of people posting rallies.
That's the one I'm going to be watching for.
Well, they'll be posting rallies before they happen with AI to control the narrative. I'm telling you right now, the biggest, I know we say this every year, and this is like an old trope, like this is the biggest election ever. The election coming up in 2028 is going to be absolutely terrifying because you're not going to know whether it's real or not. The only way you're going to know what you're watching is real is if you watch it live. And even then, it could still be edited in real time. So
The flood on the morning after of reels that are going to come out and say this person won versus that person, I think that's going to be a big issue. I'm going to call that right now. Here it is, June 8th, 2025. I'm going to say there's going to be a shit ton of reels coming out one way or the other saying this candidate won when the other one actually won.
Oh, I'm going to go like 5 steps further than you. I think it will be absolute mass violence after that. If you thought it was bad during the last, you know, three elections.
2020.
If you thought it was bad in 2020 or 2024, even 2016, you ain't seen nothing until you're going to have half of the country convinced one person won, the other half of the country that is convinced the other person won. I'm telling you right now.
Or worse, what if somebody makes a fake video and shows a candidate getting assassinated.
That's what I'm saying. This is going to be something to where you're not going to know reality. And that's what I really am scared of for 2028 is anyone can make these videos. Anyone can edit anything. Anybody can implicate a president or vice president or a senator or lawmaker doing anything. And there's nothing to stop.
If they make a video that says, oh, I did this and with such and such, and I'm going to bow out of the race.
Yeah.
Bro, like a week before the election. Like, are you serious?
You can make any one of them just appear on Epstein's Island. Like I'm just saying, like this is something that's scary, but like you could literally tank someone's chances overnight the night before the election or a couple of days before. And by the time they have
3 days.
By the time you post that on Friday before the election and then it's Tuesday, you could tank it.
Damage is done.
Yeah, and I feel like that's gonna happen. And that's what absolutely terrifies me. That's why I'm really pissed, I will say, because we're not going to discuss too much like the Big Beautiful Bill or whatever Trump was trying to pass with that. But the fact that there are no AI restrictions on some of this stuff really concerns me. And his administration needs to understand how serious this is. Because if we don't at least require a water stamp, a watermark, or something legally... Because I think people should be allowed to use it, but if you're using it to influence about anyone else that already exists, you should have to get their express permission to use their likeness and or have to say this is expressly AI and not real somewhere before, during, and or after the video.
Yeah.
So, just saying. That scares me. This could go so bad.
Yeah, and like you were saying, it's going to be an issue of you will not know until it's too late. And then people are going to be scrambling to figure out, okay, is this real? Is this fake? How do we verify? How do we double verify? How do we verify the verification? Just the level of authenticity and the authenticity checks that are going to have to go into place. It's we are Zoidberging into a level of Orwellian fear that I did not think I would live to see.
Yep. So that we're there.
Yeah. Speaking of Orwellian fear, the rise of the machines is also right around the corner. AI powered robots are getting very real. I'll just segue into our next point. AI is earning robots. They're enabling robots to perform increasingly complex tasks in the service industry, as well as other facets of life. I will mention that the first AI-powered kickboxing match was held in China last week. Did you ever see that movie Real Steel?
Yeah, it was actually a half decent movie too.
I really liked that movie. It had some cheesy points, but you know, they were in the movie to be cheesy. We are not. Let's kind of be hopeful on this. We are maybe not more than 10 to 15 years away from that.
I think less than that.
Within 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
So we could have actual robot fighting matches. Maybe we'll have somebody like Tyson back when he tried to pay a zookeeper to let him fight a gorilla. We'll have boxers trying to pay people to let them fight the robots.
We're gonna fucking cyborg Tyson fighting off against a robot. To see who's better. Like, he's going to be 78 years old, looking like a half man, half machine, just sitting out there fighting. I wonder if he's a robot, will he still have a lisp?
Or will he'd really be Iron Mike Tyson at that point.
Jesus.
Oh, if they gave him the Stephen Hawking voice box, could they program the lisp?
That would be hilarious.
Yes. But the AI robots, they're getting a foothold in restaurants, grocery stores, delivery services, hospitals and hotels.
Yep.
A lot of the industries honestly make sense because they're lifting heavy things, carrying heavy things, and delivering/dropping off heavy things. Yes, it makes sense. But we also have exosuits that can enable humans to do the same thing. But the robots cost a lot less. They don't complain. They don't take sick days. They don't call off. They don't change jobs. They don't mm-hmm. need the training. Yeah, there's a lot of this makes sense to replace the people. I hate saying that, but when it comes to this kind of thing, yeah, it makes sense. These types of robots are actually designed to work alongside humans, but the more advanced versions will be designed to replace the humans. We have been saying this the entirety of the podcast. Robots are replacing humans. Jensen from NVIDIA has already come out and said robots could be getting paid wages to replace humans. I think he said $50,000 a year. I don't know why we would pay robots. I think he was just kind of talking out of his ass.
He's talking about the idea of the cost being that, like, yes. Effectively.
Yeah. So we've got the balance here that robots can be purchased at lower wages, air quotes on lower, that can actually replace workers. And these are investments, and they will last for years and years and years.
And they'll only get better.
They will only get better through software upgrades. So these are, again, as we've said in iRobot, these are the twos and threes. So no. We're not that far away.
And the NS2s and threes get a lot of work done.
Yes, they do.
You know, we're not the NS4 yet. No. And we're not doing the NS5. No. No, let's not even go there.
No.
Something I did want to say was that I have a little experience with AI taking jobs because at my previous dealership that I was working at, when I was leaving there, they got an AI to replace the secretary that would basically, they would answer the phone and that to redirect you. The AI would determine your tone, how angry you were, what your issues were and everything, and they would give a write-up on the customer. And it would automatically direct to the proper either repair person, service advisor, the person that is best linked to what the issues and problems are and what kind of service they want and their attitude.
Wow.
And it was scary accurate. And mind you, they were like, yeah, it only costs us like $6,000 or $7,000 a month, but like it's going to replace several people and it works 24/7. So we could take calls all the time. Or at least if it takes a voicemail, it will do a summary and assessment and give it to the right person to answer back. I was like, holy shit. That's incredible. Also, I'm a little perturbed. As a large man myself, I do occasionally go to Wendy's. And there was a local Wendy's that they use the AI ordering machine. And yep. I got to be honest. I fucking hate that shit. Because yep. Half the time, granted, I think it's because I drive a louder truck because it's an older truck. But like half the time it doesn't hear what I'm saying or doesn't get it right. So then I just go to the mobile order and I order on there anyway for pickup. And then I tell it's for pickup and it doesn't even understand what I'm saying. So I just drive up to the window anyway. But
yeah,
it's scary. And I'm for it in some cases. I think as an addition or as an additional tool, that's awesome. As replacement, man, where else are these people going to work? You know,
well, we've kind of talked about that with AI taking so many jobs. Yeah. There's going to be a shift in economic policy that's going to have to be addressed sooner rather than later, I think.
Yeah.
Because there are so many jobs that are going to be replaced. I'd have to reference back to our episode, but I think it was something like 40% of jobs in the next 5 to 10 years are likely, not possibly, likely to be replaced by AI. 40%. That's a shit ton of jobs. And these are all the jobs that are like sub $20 an hour.
Oh yeah, almost all the unskilled labor.
Yeah. All the unskilled white collar jobs.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of people out of work. And these robots that are coming out, they can work at McDonald's, they can work at Wendy's. They can work at Amazon.
Yeah.
They've got Amazon places that are looking to go dark. No humans at all. No restroom breaks for these people. I mean, they already don't do restroom breaks. So
no
restroom breaks for the robots either. It is a scary world we're walking into, man.
But to get back to the robots, the AI robots... for the kickboxing match in China, one of the things I did want to say is you could thank Boston Dynamics for a lot of that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Then being able to walk on two legs, being able to kick, being able to run. Thanks for our dystopian future, Boston Dynamics. I appreciate you.
Yes.
Thanks for dystopia.
Yeah.
I wonder.
So if, I think that'll. What's that?
I was thinking, I wonder if those robots end up becoming full time workforces. Like, are we going to have to go down the list of, like, they require rights and stuff like that? And. Because I'm sure as shit, California is really good at requiring everything has to have rights, whether they're here legally or not, or citizens or not, or alive or not. I wonder if they're going to go down that road too, to where they fight so hard for robot rights and then they're too expensive and they hire people again.
Yeah. Hire AI to legislate for robots. There you go. I mean, it tracks.
Honestly, I could, you know what? I now have something to do in a couple of weekends. I'm going to use the AI to save us.
Yes. Just
pull a 180.
So the last thing that we're going to talk about tonight, and I know you wanted to drop this into the bucket.
Yeah.
The Trump versus Elon bromance ending.
I know. I'm really ashamed, really. That's Don Lawn is broken
ashamed?
Up.
Ashamed?
I'm ashamed, man. I just Don Lawn. No more. No more. I ashamed is probably the wrong word for me to use. I'm very disappointed.
There you go.
You know, I am disappointed that they couldn't figure this out. I'm gonna leave my opinion to the end. I just want to cover what's happened. Okay. Because I think I know. I think a lot of people aren't reading this right.
Yes. So cover me with the glaze. Let me have this sugary frosting.
But did not leave a good taste.
Glaze me.
At least have some pineapple next time. That does not taste good. Anyways. So Elon Musk is kind of the start of this whole thing. So as everyone knows, he was in appointed position by Donald Trump to be part of Doge, Department of Government Efficiency, to be able to help understand the wasteful spending that's going on, be able to pinpoint it, be able to give kind of a plan of action, if you will, as to what should be done. Well, with the spending bill that the Republicans have proposed that is being supported by Donald Trump, Elon Musk made a tweet the other night saying, "I'm sorry, I just can't stand it anymore. This massive, outrageous congressional spending bill is an abomination." And then he makes the comment of, you know, time to drop the really big bomb. Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. That is the real reason why they haven't been made public. Have a nice day. Mark this post for the future. This truth will come out soon. And then he said, without me, Trump would have lost the election. Democrats have control of the House. Republicans would not have the majority in the Senate. Such ingratitude. You know, Trump responds basically just saying that, you know, he doesn't mind that Elon turned against him, but like he's been helping him out, giving a record cut in expenses. It's supposed to cut $1.6 trillion in spending, the biggest tax cut ever given, as well as a few other issues. You know, it's supposed to give a crazy, you know, tax decrease and all those other things. I'm not going to get into the politics of the bill because that really doesn't interest me right now. That's going to be a separate thing. Yeah. What I wanted to get at here is they're making this. This has been all over the news. This has been the only thing that's been on like mainstream moves for the last like 4 or 5 days. This happened last Wednesday.
And I want to know what it's trying to distract us from, really.
Well, I actually have a different opinion on this entirely. Okay. So the issue has been ever since Elon Musk really started becoming vocal with politics and getting involved like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, with backing Trump. The issue has been Tesla, SpaceX, everything else. It's been kind of been considered now almost conservative or Republican companies, even which is kind of weird because really Tesla's always been a environmentally friendly, you know, ecological, you know, very almost like left-leaning kind of company in a lot of ways. So it was kind of weird to have this sudden flip. The issue I think he sees is what I see, which is that in order for Tesla to be really successful, you can't alienate half of your demographic. Half the people that would be potential buyers for that or for SpaceX or for anything else. So it is my opinion that he is trying to do this. And there's a reason why both of them are participating in this, because Elon's already leaving the position anyway, because his days are up for being in Doge. I think he's making a very public, very definitive statement saying, "Hey, I am not affiliated with Trump or the conservatives or anything." He is trying to save face and get away. And I think Donald Trump is in on it. I think the whole idea here is Elon Musk got in, got the information, got this thing started, got it rolling, and he's going to get out and go back to doing other stuff. And he needs some distance in order for his companies to be successful, because look what happened a few months ago when people were firebombing Teslas. They were burning the dealerships. They were destroying the cars. They were attacking people, putting swastikas on. Like, it's crazy. So I think for the sake of his companies and his legacy, I think he and Trump at a meeting was like, hey, we can't do this. There's no way. To me, that makes the only logical sense, because I don't think these two people that are as smart as they are would publicly have the dumbest bullshit beef ever and make it this public and say things like they have been. And I just cut out some clips and excerpts from like that were more direct. There were a lot of other stuff that was said, but it's basically just wham, 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 bullshit. He said, she said, whatever, you're stupid, you're a bitch, you know, whatever. To me, I just think it's to make it so Elon is also fulfilling his fiduciary responsibility for the companies. Because here's my other concern. I wonder if they're coming after him saying, hey, you're not fulfilling that, and you have a like a conflict of interest by being in this part with Doge, with the U.S. government, and basically beholding to one political party type of thing. That's where I think this is coming from.
That makes sense. As he's leaving the position, he will re-enter the commercial side of his life, mm-hmm. and now he's got to get back to making money as a business owner. His businesses have been hemorrhaging money. So, yeah, this is how he saves face. I could buy that. That's a solid theory. I could 100% buy that. Very well presented. Congratulations, Gibbs. Hey,
I think that's what's going to come out in the future, because he just needs to cut ties and move on. Because there's no way, unfortunately, his company will survive very well without it.
No. Now, here's the question I have. Mm-hmm. That's a position that can be fulfilled yearly. It's not a one-time deal.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So he could, you know, kiss and make up with Elon, and next year have him back to head Doge again.
He could hire Elon, or he could hire someone else.
Right.
Maybe. I wonder if the best strategy would be hire four different people that have four different sets of skills to go after.
That's what he should do.
If I were Trump, I would look at someone like Elon's a great first person to start, because he has
it sets the precedent.
Not only that, but he has enough experience with large numbers, with large sets of data, with, you know, these large businesses, that for him to get the right people, because that's one of Elon's talents. Elon, like Donald Trump, I would give them both credit. They're never the smartest person in the room. But you know what they're both really good at? Getting the right people that know how to do something. Elon's never been the guy to personally make the cars, but he found the people to do it 10 years almost before anyone else could. Look at Donald Trump, same thing. He might not be the smartest person in the room, but he's made over 500 companies. Only like a handful of them have ever been bankrupt. How many other people can build companies that have like a 98 or 99% success rate? Again.
And most of his bankruptcies were like financial chess moves, basically.
Exactly. Most of those were on one of his other companies acquiring that, so they go bankrupt, so therefore they're just basically transferring intellectual property, and that's it, and they close their debts, and they're all done. Again, it's kind of a shitty thing to do, but also it's legal, and that's what they all do. So welcome to the U.S. business practices.
Same with taxes.
Well, taxes is theft anyway. That's besides the point.
I know. Taxation is theft. And the Fed.
If only we could. So it's one of those things, though, that it makes sense why he picked him, because those two intellectually are very much aligned. They speak the same language. And Elon put the right people in there that for the next few years, regardless, at least it's going the right direction. Then it's going to be Trump should be putting in people for the next 3 years that can help mold it, to help refine it. You know, he put the guy that was the hammer. Great. Now let's get the scalpel. You know, let's get someone that can really focus on the couple of points. And I think what really has to happen is Trump needs to spend the next couple of years peeling back some layers and figuring out what's going on. But no, I agree with you 100%. I think this is the smart move. And I think it's the most logical, because vice versa, if they were both just having this out on Twitter, why? None of them win. Neither one of them wins this. You know?
No. But it does show extra usage on X. So Elon can say, hey, it's getting used.
You're not wrong. You know, for the couple hundred bucks in ad revenue he's making off of that.
Right.
But
yeah.
But yeah, that was really, besides that, that was kind of really my thoughts on that whole beef that was just making the rounds on the internet for the last few days. Yeah.
Well, we'll probably do the actual One Big Beautiful Bill itself.
Yep.
We can do that in another show.
Oh, yes.
Because there's a lot to it, and we need to see what actually gets hammered out and passed when it does pass.
That's the thing. I've been doing some research on that, and there's a lot of conflicting information. I just have to wait and see what's actually 100% passed, not just approved by the House or the Senate, but actually passed. That way we can look through it. Because I do want to report on that, because I think that's going to be big. That's huge.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of those bills that, for what it is, it has the potential to make a lot of really good changes for a lot of people in the country. I still encourage people to vote local. Those are the elections that matter more than the presidential one. Your Congress and Senate people, they matter a little bit more than the president as well. But your local ones make the most change that will affect your day-to-day lives.
All right, I think that's
so.
Is there anything?
Was that it?
Yeah. We're through everything.
Wow, we got through everything in like an hour and change.
I know, it was good.
Should we riff for another hour and stretch it out? like a prom date?
Oh my god! Oh my god! You know, I would ask you how did that work out for you, but I'm scared to get the fucking answer. So let's just no. No. Oh man. But yeah, it was nice to have a bit of a
when they find out that your ham kettle has its own girth certificate, it's never a good time for them.
I learned two euphemisms in one sentence. I learned two euphemisms in one sentence.
Oh, you're welcome. Love you, buddy.
Yeah. Jesus. Fuck. Oh my god. Oh my god. But yeah, I guess that's really it, huh? There's nothing else. Is there anything else on the list?
I think so. The shorts are doing well. Check those out. Yeah. We are 100% live on Apple platforms now.
Finally.
So if anybody is listening to us on Apple, hello, welcome. If you're hearing this is the first broadcast we have made where we know we are on Apple.
Yeah, for some reason, Apple decided to like shadow ban us, and I don't know why. They wouldn't say. I'm a little weirded out.
It was just impossible to get the accounts made for whatever reason. I actually sat on the phone for an hour today with an Apple rep trying to get the account handled. So shout out to, I think his name was Rob, at Apple today. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Rob. We love you. We love you, Rob. Welcome to Apple Podcast. We love you.
I want to touch you in intimate ways to say thank you.
Consensually for legal reasons.
Oh man.
But so we're on Apple now. The shorts are doing really well. Thank you for the ones you have been putting up, especially the ones you did manually. Those are performing really well, actually.
We're learning. We're learning.
We're learning.
Careful. If only I could learn as quickly as AI.
Yeah. Right? Ugh. Go ahead, get yourself a Neuralink and you'll be all right.
Fucking Burger King
directly ad. Interface.
That's the problem. I got a Burger King ad at 3 in the morning. That's the issue. Either that or, God forbid, if I get that fucking Cars for Kids ad at 4 in the morning. Oh, God.
Yeah. Now you understand why I turn that shit off every time it comes on. Mm-hmm. For reference, if anybody chooses to, there is an ad for a company that takes donations of cars. They use the money to give it to kids organizations. The commercial is so earwormy. I have to turn it off or else it gets stuck in my head for 3 days.
Oh, I'll be honest with you. This is an episode we're going to do sometime. Cars for Kids was entirely the reason why our used car market sucks, by the way.
I thought that was the Cash for Clunkers program.
That one also.
Yeah. Because that destroyed the used car market.
Mm-hmm. I did a little research. So. I went a little TISM diving the other night. And,
nice.
Yeah, that's going to be a future episode. I'm currently working on the background on that one.
Awesome.
So I despise it even more than you know.
Excellent. All right. Well, I guess we'll shut this down. Thank you to everybody who joined in with us tonight. Thank you for everybody listening. We love you all. We want to touch you in ways that we cannot say on the radio.
There's no we. There's just you.
No, just you. You do too.
No,
you
said so earlier. I did not.
I
nope,
heard it.
Nope. Mm-mm.
I heard it. You can't prove it.
I need an adult. You're adult.
But yeah, check out the socials. Hit up the Discord. Hit up the TikTok. What?
Yes.
Tiki Talk channel. Yes. And Facebook, Discord, YouTube, everything, all the things. Check us out. Support us. Do the things. Anything else?
No, I think we're good.
All righty. Love each other. We love you guys. Thank you for hanging out. And we'll see y'all next time.